This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jenny hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest. Woman makes the world go round.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here, your old friend P2 on the P2 Podcast, coming to you from the cozy confines of Trinidad World Recording Studio, my studio here in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. Beautiful to some today. It is gray, it is cold, it is dreary, it is when you want to sit inside, drink a warm drink, talk rock and roll, talk about music, just ensconce yourself here in the Indian rug, surrounded by vintage guitars, and just discuss all that is wrong and right in the music world. Well, joining us here today, folks, he has been far away for far too long, recovering from his own car crash where his wife chased him with a golf club.
Yes.
Very interesting. Because yes. I heard the reports coming out. There had been a crash. Someone had smashed out some windows with a golf club. I thought, dude, once again, Kurt South is in the news. It turns out it wasn't you. It wasn't you. I was glad to see. But welcome back, Kurt South, everybody. Fantastic.
It's good to be back. Little did I realize how much in common Tiger and I have.
That's right. You look at your golf game, you think, man, I got nothing in common with this guy. He's a world beater. He's out there making millions, yeah, maybe billions of dollars.
But at his core, he's just a domestic dispute waiting to happen.
That's right.
Who knows? Involving physical abuse and a car going into an oak tree.
And just the neighbors calling the cops, disturbed with what they see and hear.
That's a good Thursday night at my house.
Oh, that's not true at all. Not true at all. Go kid.
Go Tiger. I'm in your corner. Call me if you need anything.
Well, it looks like that whole deal is going to just kind of pipe down, I think it looks like. Latest reports is, man, his wife was out there, you know, cradling his bloody face in her hands.
After she'd beaten his bloody face into
a
pulp.
Speculation.
Hey,
speculation. Rampant speculation.
You would want it to be to go by the wayside too if your wife had beaten your ass with a pitching wedge.
Oh, gee whiz. Let the jokes ensue now.
I love stories like this.
We're gonna catch up with Kurt South. What's been going on, man? I know you've been finishing up your record.
Yeah.
You and Will Hobbs, Colin Keaton working on it.
Yeah.
What's the latest on that? We got a drop date for the record?
The exact date is hanging in the balance, but it's going to be probably around the second week of February.
Mm. How many songs you got on there? Eight?
Ten?
Nine? Ten songs. Watertown on there?
It is.
Yes,
it is.
Watertown. Did y'all redo it, or did y'all use the version you did here?
No, we totally redid it with the band, the guys.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, and we've got, there's
That's
a couple
cool
other
song.
Re-records on there, for,
right.
Like stuff I just had acoustic demo versions of.
Right. You got a title yet, working title?
It's called Fast Train Home.
Fast Train.
Title. Yeah.
Fast Train
Home. The artwork is already being worked on.
Good deal.
Ought to be in the can soon. Actually, the first single is being mixed right now.
Is that right? As we speak.
In Fayetteville, Arkansas, by the great John Kirkendall.
Yes.
Emmy-winning engineer.
Emmy-winning
John
engineer.
John Kirkendall.
Sweet. And, listen to this. Kurt South just has people all over the country huddled over his project, lending their ears, lending their eyes, just guys just huddled over photographs, just making the artwork.
Just
and here you sit just sipping a hot drink.
Yeah.
Just wondering, you're just firing off a text occasionally to these guys. Like, where is it, damn it? Let's roll.
Yeah, I'm just going, look, status, update. I don't do conference calls.
No,
so
absolutely not.
Text me, let me know what's going on. Yeah, we've been working fairly feverishly on that. And I've had my busiest like 4 month stretch of shows.
That's what it seems like. That's what
I've ever had.
Of course, you keep up the hipster hangover party there at Frez. Is that still going?
That's still
does
going.
Does that roll on when it gets cold and rainy, or what happens then?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you know, last winter we only missed like two due to the weather.
Well, they just call you the day of the show and go, "Man, don't worry about it." Kind of deal.
Well, they kind of leave it up to me. I'll walk outside and kind of make a judgment and you know. But man, just I think we've been on a stretch of about 100 shows since, I don't know, late summer.
It's got to be a record.
Man.
For yourself.
Same
venue? That's got to be a record for you.
No. Not the same venue. Just in the past few months, we've done about that many, just overall different places. And I'll be capping off the year with like 235 shows this year.
Wow.
It's just been one of those.
Working man's musician, Kurt South.
You know, we added a child to the family.
Added a child to the family. We got to get out there and earn that cash, man.
Yeah.
That cash is tight these days out there for a musician.
It is.
Or anybody. Investment banker.
Yeah.
Lawyer.
My lawyer called me and borrowed $200 last week. So you know times are hard when your attorney's calling you.
That's right. When your doctor and your accountant owe you money, that's when things are really tough.
Yeah.
It's interesting, man. We've had a lot happening as well. I hadn't seen a lot of you lately.
No,
I've been working.
Been
You've been
down.
In the weeds.
I have been in the weeds.
I've gotten some emails, people going, "Man, we're South, man." You know, we had
in the weeds.
We had people filling in. Man, we had Zach Huckabee came up and did a podcast. The great Kevin Haggard, guru, did a few, and have just been proceeding on. But
I heard you sullied the proceedings with Jason Stolle. Is that true?
Yes, Jason Stolle, ex and former and beloved full band drummer. Came in here and sat on the IKEA sofa.
Ryan Lynch,
Lynch. I got an email from Lynch. He's gonna try and we're doing some shows in Dallas coming up. We got the House of Blues show, January the 15th, and there's some talk of Lynch making an appearance on stage, playing a banjo during Bruising Sheetrock.
I hear he's been working on that.
Well, he's always been interested in it. He's always a very good player.
Is he sober?
Yeah. He's doing well. Okay. He's doing okay.
I keep him in my prayers for several reasons.
Oh, South, he kids, ladies and gentlemen.
I love Lynch.
He kids. But what about this business of music, man, of Texas music? What are you picking up at the wind, man? You're a guy out there on the street playing shows. The wind is blowing around, Fred's and the White Elephant, Any number of dudes opening shows for you. What's the consensus out there? What's the young musician thinking? What's saying? What are they saying?
The young musician is he's got a hard row to hoe.
Hard row to hoe. He does.
Well,
of course, we're largely, everyone's kind of in the same boat when it comes to everybody.
Yeah,
everybody needs
really
gigs and stuff. But you and I have done it for a lot more years. It's hard to get started. I don't know how that.
The one thing I keep telling guys is, some guys go, "Man, how do I get to, wherever you are?
Right.
How did you do this? How did you do that?"
Right.
And, man, it is all 100% a function of doing it for 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
That's the only answer I have is that, you hang in long enough, and eventually if people like it and you don't suck, or at least some people think you're decent,
You can look up in five years and you say, "Man, I can make a few $100 a night maybe here and there and do that 100 times a year." You can keep going, and if you can't, you can't. And very difficult, man.
The hardest part is just making the decision to keep doing it. And, I mean, we all have the same unanswered questions. And, there are guys out there who are following a very specific path and doing they're getting singles on the Texas music charts, and
that's right.
They're doing really well live, and
indeed,
and everybody looks at that and they're like, "Well, I want to do that. How do you do that?" And the way to get into that game, first and foremost, is be prepared to spend money.
Yeah,
and if you don't have money to pay for radio promotion, to hire a band, put the guys on salary or pay them really to keep them around.
Right.
Then you're going to have to choose a different path. You're going to have to just kind of go out there and flap in the breeze and hope that people kind of gravitate toward what you're doing. And that's the only thing I've done. Right. I've been sitting on my ass on a stool for the better part of a decade.
That's right.
People gravitate, and eventually they have.
What could be better than watching you sit on a stool and just stew and be didactic and play your songs?
Absolutely nothing.
You built your career on that.
800 people cannot be wrong.
That's right. 800 Kurt South fans cannot
they
be
cannot
wrong.
They cannot be wrong.
Well, speaking of fans, man, we've gotten so far behind with our viewer mail, because a lot of the viewer mail pertains to you or your thoughts and the two of us together.
A lot of theories as to my absence. There's been some
theories. A lot of rumors out there. We're going to quell. We're going to put to rest. So we're going to dive into the viewer mailbag here in the next section. Stay tuned.
This woman makes the world go around. Woman makes the world go around. Woman makes the world go around and around. Woman makes the world go around, spinning like a halo, giving orders to the planets and the stars who move on.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Thanks for joining us, folks. By the way, did you know that today, we have launched the official Fans, Romans, Countrymen, Lend Me Your Ears t-shirt. It's now at p2merch.com. Have you checked it out yet, South? I just put it up a couple hours ago. But Navy, it's got the Roman helmet on it, kind of a Spartan Michigan State kind of deal. Cool Roman helmet, the gold on the navy blue. Phil Pritchett and the full band, Fans, Romans, Countrymen, Lend Me Your Ears.
If it comes in a mock turtleneck, let me know. I'll buy three.
Put it on a beanie for you. Kurt South hoodie. Well, let's look. I've been sifting through the email here. I had one pertaining to Vince from Fredericksburg, Texas, wanted to know if there were any sort of rituals you had, or myself. He said, Phil, are there any sort of rituals you and the band perform in certain venues or certain cities? Just wondering, keep up the good work. Love it all. Vince. I was trying to think of some rituals. Of course, we do. I don't really consider them rituals until you look up and it's just something you do every time.
Getting wrong in Corpus. You've been doing that for 15 years.
I thought that was your ritual. No. Tried and true. You know, well, me, the full band and I, we've got a little, Stu and Blue and I, we kind of lean down and we just kind of twiddle our fingers in a little circle. We just kind of sit, you know. Just kind of say, let it rain. We walk on the stage. We started doing that.
Stu's been in the band too long.
We started doing that. Well, we started doing it as a joke way back. He had this shirt that said, let it rain. It was like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that. That's a
good
shirt.
Way back. So we'd kind of go, let's let it rain. Let's go. You know, it's time to go on stage. Let it rain. Let it rain. You know, we do that. But what about you? Do you have anywhere to eat? Like before you play at Fred's, do you just go into the same portalette somewhere?
I'm weird. I rarely eat right before a gig in town.
Yeah.
Because I'm usually just coming from home.
Right.
But man, out of town, there's a lot of places. Our rituals always revolve around food.
Yeah. And we got to be real careful about that.
Yeah. And you know, I'm big on finding local, you know, especially when we go out of state, finding these local hangouts or places that are really well known around there.
Not that place we pulled off in Alabama that time.
Oh, not the Kentucky Fried Chicken in Fry, Alabama. Where I had my hand on my pistol the whole time watching Phil try to
Kurt and
get
I,
his coleslaw.
Remember we were driving to play the Great King Fest in we devoted a whole segment. If you haven't heard our segment on playing in North Carolina and sharing the carnival rides together, go back to the iTunes list there. You'll see it. Kurt and Phil talk about their North Carolina trip. I don't know if we approached that in that segment, but we did. We pull off the road. Was it in Alabama?
Yeah.
We're like, man, let's just get something to eat, man. So we, gosh, it was rough. Holy cow.
It was.
I remember Kurt just going, you know, we're doomed here. We're doomed here.
I had six shots available and I knew I was going to need 20.
I know.
It was one of those.
Man, yeah. we had a rough deal. We stayed in a hotel in Amarillo the other night, and dude, there were just a bunch of dudes in that hallway. You know, and I was just kind of. I didn't think. You know, sometimes you stay somewhere, the bar puts you up somewhere. You're like, it's no big deal. Free hotel room, so you stay there. Dude, there were some dudes out in the hall, man, just yelling, talking about how they had guns or something. You know, Stu calls me, dude, and they're just like, dude, we got to get out of here. So. So I hadn't really paid a lot of attention to what was going on, but I kind of started looking through the people. Man, there were all these guys out there. They're kind of getting in, and a couple of them got in a fight and were kind of getting slammed up against our door and stuff. And pretty outrageous, man. Golly. That's a segment there. Worst hotels you've ever stayed in at gigs.
The one you're referencing is at near the top of my list.
That was the one with the burned mattress there in Amarillo that was still there for 2 months. Stolly referenced it. Yeah, man. So we just got our stuff and said, man, we'll go to the gig and we'll walk out together and play the show. And then we'll just start driving home and just stay somewhere on the road. Of course, the band fell asleep. I just drove all the way home and arrived at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, anytime you decide, anytime you leave the gig and you say, well, we're just going to drive till we find a room, that means you're always just going home.
Well, because it gets to be, the problem is it gets to be like, I mean, you don't quit playing about 2 o'clock, and then it's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, you're driving, and you're just kind of like, dude, why am I going to pull over? And
check out at 11, so you're going to pay $100 bucks.
Spend $100 to sleep for, 4 hours.
Yeah,
so
it's never worth it.
I'm not the right guy to ask on that. I just... because I'll always drive.
Yeah.
Hell, we drove home in one day, didn't we, from North Carolina?
Yeah, we did.
How far was that, 21 hours?
21, 22, yeah.
Oh. Man, hey, did you know I sold the red van? That red van has been sold.
Yeah, sad.
Yeah, it is a sad day.
It's sad.
In fact, I got an email. There's another viewer mail asked if they noticed the new purple van I've got. Have you seen the new van?
It's purple?
It's purple. It's kind of an eggplant color.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Where was it here? Wendy in Houston wanted to know, Phil, what is the fate of the red van and what was that purple thing you were driving at the last show? That's the new one, Wendy. The new one. Man, some dude up in Denton had a, old Ford van. I don't know, late 90s. Only had like 100-something thousand on it, 120,000, compared to the 378 I had on the red one. Boy, that red one, though, man.
It was a trooper.
I keep wanting to know if there's some kind of a Hall of Fame or something I could put it in.
I'm sure there
just
is.
Line it up. I don't know.
I'm curious to see the people that you sold the red van to.
Yeah.
How long before one of them calls you or emails and says, hey, we found an old spit cup.
Yeah.
Just lodged it behind one of the chairs or a bunch of warm beer bottles or just found one of Stu's old white t-shirts.
I tried to clean it up the best I could. It was really remarkably pretty clean on the inside. It was a little, things just get worn out. It was a 10-year-old car. But it was hard parting with the car. I must admit, I had to fight back a manly tear as it drove around the corner.
Is there such a thing as a manly tear?
Is there? I don't know. I'd like to think there is.
It's like putting on a pair of manly high heels, isn't it? My most masculine
pair of fishnet hose. No, they drove it off around the corner. That was it, man. Red van is now, of course, the guy buying it had no idea who I was. I mean, he's just an older.
The greatness that van.
Oh, the greatness. The greatness. How many just great Fort Worth and Texas music luminaries have been in that van and just sat and chilled out, Everybody from Ryan Lynch to Kurt South. Remember we ran over that dog in it that one time?
It's
horrible. A lot of bad memories, too. Oh, my God.
We run over the poor golden retriever on the highway, geez. And Jordan Powell just looks at you and goes, Phil, every dog has its day.
That's right. That was a very poignant thing to say. Oh, you want to talk about just sick. Gosh, man.
That was bad.
One of those deals, though, man, it's just you're driving down the highway at dusk and there's just, you're not going to just drive off the bridge into the water, into the river.
Well, we were in a hurry to get to, what was that Mexican restaurant? La Feria.
Oh, yeah. Heading into Austin.
Yeah.
Bad
Speaking
news.
Of restaurants, one of my favorite rituals is outside of Fayetteville, Arkansas, in this little town called Ozark.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
We go up there. Man, there's a barbecue restaurant called Rivertown Barbecue.
Does that have your southeastern pork barbecue there?
Oh, man.
Is that what you got?
Yes. Man, it is incredible. It's right across from the venue. And every time we get there, the first thing we do, there's no sound check, no loading in. We go straight to Rivertown Barbecue.
And just get wrong.
And also, there's a Shoney's on I-20.
Fabled. Fabled Shoney's.
And right out on the eastern end of Jackson, Mississippi, that I cannot pass it up.
Wow.
And I'm the only one in the band who likes it. Everybody else, they go in there and just get wrong. But I go in there and just, I get right with it. It's awesome. I have to do both of those.
The big thing, too, I had another email from Justin. Asked where the main stops were. Where the main stops were for the full band. Of course, if you're going south, you always stop at the check stop in West Texas, whether you need to or not.
Before or after the Style Station.
Yeah. Yeah, you got the Style Station down there in northern north of West. Or it's kind of west.
Yeah.
But, you know, the food, the clean restroom, the good food, difficult to find.
Very.
Very difficult. That's the worst thing about being on the road, man, is stopping. If I'm driving, I'm fine. I just do not want to stop. And it's not that everyone's like, God, Philly, no fun. You don't want to stop. You don't want to stop and look around. Dude, there's nowhere to stop. You're just going to be entering into a fly-infested restroom.
Remember that restroom in Alabama we stopped in that was so terrible on the way back from North Carolina?
Which one? I don't know if I remember.
And it was.
They all run together.
Man, you and I both came out just looking at each other like, God, I can't believe we just relieved ourselves in that. It was awful.
Oh,
it was terrible.
Our restroom stops deserve so much better than that.
They do.
Oh, man.
I like to urinate in beautiful surroundings.
That's right. With some Muzak going and a mopped floor. Well, yeah. Man, the check stop's hard to beat. It's always clean, and they got the great the kolaches and the sandwiches.
Yeah.
Great fast service. Even if there's a lot of people in there,
they run you through.
It's one of the few times. Man, most restaurants, if I pull up the Whataburger, there's a long line. I just skip it, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pull into McDonald's. I've gone into McDonald's, paid for my food, and stood there for 15 minutes with other people in front of me, and just left. And not even cared. Just my three or four bucks gone. I'm like, screw it, let's go. Out. I cannot stand there, man. But the check stop, I trust. Long line. I'm like, you stand right here. They'll just move you right through. And they always do, man. I just have my money ready and just, you know.
You know, down on I-10 in between Houston and San Antonio, there's Bucky's. Have you ever been in there?
Yeah. Well, they've opened a new one on I-45 on the way from Dallas to Houston. North of Huntsville.
Really?
On 45, brand new, huge thing.
Those places are great.
That's Haggard just raves about it.
And also,
web guy Kevin Haggard on the podcast, raving about Bucky's.
Also off of 45, I believe, is a place called Woody's Smokehouse.
Yeah, we do that Woody's Smokehouse
a lot.
Man,
that's a good stop, too.
It is.
That's a necessary stop. You can go in there and you can get you a homemade pecan pie and like 2 pounds of smoked ham.
That's right.
And take a dump.
Or what you would call
breakfast. And get a gallon of sweet tea. It's awesome.
That Woody's is great. You can now if you're going on the south, if you're headed south, there's a gas station over there. There's another Woody's, another branch. If you're going north,
right
now that's more like a restaurant, like hot sliced barbecue. You know, you can get like the butcher paper with the barbecue.
Yeah,
it's a good lunch stop.
Very good.
So we do that, man. You can get like a quarter of a barbecue chicken kind of deal, or ribs, or whatever you want.
Yeah, that's
God.
Good.
You know what? Stuff like that just makes being on the road nice, because you feel like you're in your own backyard a little bit. Like, I mean, Houston's a long way away from Fort Worth, but you just kind of go, it's just kind of like going out to some corner of the ranch, you know, it keeps you going. You're like, hey, we're almost to the
I hate the drudgery and the bad food and all this stuff. I mean, if I'm going to be on the road, everything has to be just right. Mm-hmm. I have to have it planned out. I have to have my places along the way.
Yep.
You know, or else I'm out.
I tell you, I got outed one time in Houston for, we pulled in, we went through a phase there where Jordan Powell, our great road manager, had some sort of, he was just one of the early savvy guys with like Priceline and all that. I mean, those websites were out there, but man, he was just feverishly comparing prices. So he always got us a room for like $50 at like, you know, the Marriott or somewhere really nice, kind of down in the Galleria district of Houston. There's a lot of nice hotels, but on the weekends those things kind of open up, those nice hotels.
Yeah.
So man, we were always like, the downside is you're always paying like $20 to park on the 8th floor of some parking garage across the street.
Right.
In the van. You know, it's kind of a bitch. But we were in that district. So we started going to, are you familiar with Eatsy's?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fresh food, you know.
Y'all introduced me to that place.
Yeah, we went to Eatsy's. And we're kind of a rock and roll band. And but we go to Eatsy's. And so I'm just, we go in there and I'm feeling a little, like, don't eat anything heavy before the show. I should get some sushi and some bottled water or something. So me and Lynch and Stella, yeah, here we come. And pal, just skipping out of Eatsy's with our salads. And sure enough, someone goes, hey, Phil, what's going on, man? You know? And my first reaction was like, I've been caught. You know, I've been caught. Mm-hmm. I was a little horrified. I don't know. I thought maybe I should be chomping on a leg of a turkey leg.
Y'all did used to eat like a bunch of schoolgirls.
Yeah, I know.
It always bothered me.
Well, dude, we've had so many instances where people have gotten in bad shape because of that. But, yeah, we got out of there one time. Oh, man. You know what? I've got a new beef. This is kind of veering off a little bit. But I've got a severe beef with maybe not so much Eatsy's, I don't know, but the whole, Whole Foods. I went to Austin recently, the great Whole Foods grocery store there on 6th mm-hmm. and Lamar. Piles of oranges. If you want to pay $8 for organic orange, that's the place to go. Well, they've got everything under the sun there. But the way these things are laid out, you got all this great food everywhere, but it's just, it's chaotic. There's not a line. It's not like a cafeteria line.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy in a chef's hat over here holding a knife, and he's standing in front of some food. Then you turn over here, and there's a, you know, a sushi guy just sitting there, like, hey, you know, and then you pick up some sushi. There's not a cash register. You don't know where to go check out. You're bumping into people. You're jockeying in there. You're getting your bottle of water. You turn around. Where are the napkins? I don't know. And you just, I took my kids in there trying to get something quick to eat. Oh, you can get anything you want in here. But there's so much selection. There's so much stuff. There's about 12 different counters mm-hmm. from all different corners of the globe, each with four or five chefs back there. You know, people everywhere scurrying around, no order, no line, nothing. It's just, then you buy all your food, you're sitting there with an armful of food. You don't have a fork, you don't have a napkin, you're looking for a table. I'm just kind of like, man, how come we put up with this?
I hate those places.
But did you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, I either like to go into a restaurant, sit down and order some food, and the guy brings it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's pretty good, and I'll leave him a tip and leave. Or I like to go to a, you know, like the check stop. There's just a guy behind the counter. I'd like that sandwich and walk out. But those places, like the cafe, they try to be both. I don't know what they're trying to be. The food's good, you
know. Pretentious is what they usually are.
It's something. But there's something wrong with the way it's set up. It's almost like they should just go with like the Luby's. Let me get a tray and just walk through the line. Oh, man, I'll take some roasted chicken. Some whatever you want, rice, and oh, I have a piece of pie and an iced tea. But man, when it's all scattered, there were so many people in there.
And at the end of it, you pay about $12.50 for 600 calories.
Yes.
And you're
it drives me nuts a little bit. I'm like, man, this is, well, you can't go there if you're the only person who can go in there is like a single person with no children mm-hmm. who's not on a date. Who has $20 to spend on lunch
mm-hmm.
and doesn't want to sit down and doesn't mind just eating out of a box.
They want to eat while jogging.
With no utensils.
Yeah.
Without sitting down and don't need a napkin or something. You know, it's just like it doesn't work, but yet they're crowded. Yeah, you can't even get in there. You know, everybody's just jostling around.
That's why Greg Schrader and I, at the times we've traveled long distances together, he and I, we'll just go out and strangle a wild boar.
Yeah.
Just dump barbecue sauce on it and carve it up.
Make it your own.
Yeah.
That's right, man.
That is what we do.
Well, you just, you know, the Mexican restaurant's always a good bet. That's what, when I kind of want to sit down, if I don't want to do something quick, I mean, let's just go in here, we'll eat some chips and hot sauce.
That place in Stephenville we always
bring you some rice and beans and a taco, and you can have a nice tea and leave. And you know what you're going to do. But those sort of big time, we have everything type setups,
mm-hmm.
I think it's almost too much selection or something. It's just, it drives me nuts, man.
If you want to see me get tired head, watch me going to Central Market on Fuel and I-30.
Yeah, that's the same kind. I go to grocery shopping there. I'll buy some meat there occasionally. They got good produce. But yeah, the same kind of setup in the walk-in, get whatever you want. And you're just, same deal, you're just wandering around trying to choose from one of 10 different kinds of bottled water, organic napkins, plastic fork, or
it's a whipping.
Fork made out of soybeans or something.
Yeah, just people leaves in their hair, real pale and pasty, just bumping into you. And
yeah.
I can't handle it. I really
some places to avoid on the road. Well, that's some road talk there. Thanks for your emails. You can always email us, phil@philpritchett.com. Throw out a question like these folks did. Thank you guys for writing in about what we do on the road, rituals, where we stop, et cetera, et cetera. Kurt South is here. Man, I'll tell you what. We always talk about our friend Bob Lefsetz. You need to subscribe to the Lefsetz letter. He'll send you emails about the industry, et cetera. He revisited this record that I was familiar with. There Goes Ryman Simon by Paul Simon, a Paul Simon solo record. Of course, after he'd left Simon and Garfunkel. And, man, I kind of rediscovered it here. I was just transferring it, you know, flying it into my my rig so I can have it on the iPod, Kurt. Have it on my iPod.
Such a good picture of him. That high school yearbook.
It's kind of
picture.
A weird cover art. I was going to get into that
really
a little bit.
It's really weird. Yeah.
We're going to take a look at Paul Simon, man. There Goes Ryman Simon in the vault next.
Hey, everyone, this is Kurt South, and you're listening to the man himself, Phil Pritchett, on the P2 Podcast.
When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder
back on all the crap I learned in high school. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. The rain is falling. The clouds have rolled in. Thanksgiving is behind us. Kurt South sits in front of me after a week of no doubt consuming turkey. Lots of pie. Oh, man. Looking out the window at the storm clouds today, writing a song. Something dark, something depressing, yet poignant, I'm sure, earlier today before he came in here to do the podcast. Mm-hmm. So good to see you, my friend. How was your Thanksgiving? Pretty good?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday. I can kind of take or leave all the rest of them. So I always...
You get the great football games, of course. You know, just you have nowhere to be.
Yeah, and fall's always is just my favorite time of year anyway. Yeah. And I just always like Thanksgiving. Christmas just gets to be a beating.
Yeah.
You know, but...
God, you're a Scrooge. Listen to you.
I love Christmas. I love Christmas. It's how other people perceive Christmas and whip me to death with it.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm probably the biggest Christmas fan of most people I know.
Yes.
But if I can just get everyone else to not turn it into such a debacle.
That's right.
But they can't seem to
handle
it.
If the world was more like you, it would run so much smoother.
Yeah. I hate having to punch people on Christmas Eve. But sometimes it happens.
Good grief. It's a family show here, folks.
It is a
family show. Well, man, what do you know about this Paul Simon record, man, that I've fallen in love with again recently here?
I didn't know that Phil Ramone produced most of it.
Yeah. He was the hot 70s dude, man.
Man, he was. He produced
New York
everything.
Guy. Did Billy Joel, of course, all his stuff. Anybody making albums in New York, just, you know, sitting
went
there.
Phil Ramone.
Drinking wine and smoking weed in Manhattan, making a record. Ramone was your guy. Isn't that about it?
Has Ramon ever just done cocaine off of his Neve console? That's a question.
I don't know. I'm sure. There's a great picture on the back of, I think it's The Stranger, Billy Joel. The whole band sitting at an Italian restaurant deal.
Yeah.
The checkered tablecloth with the candle. And they're all holding shots and just going, who's that guy? This is Phil Ramone. You know, Phil Ramone, producer. Oh, my God, this guy just lived the dream. The great Phil Ramone.
Is he still alive?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure he is. I want to say I saw an article with him not too long ago. Of course, it might have been 10 years ago.
You don't hear much about him, it seems like, anymore.
So where did he come down on Simon and Garfunkel? Sum it all up.
Man, awesome.
Yeah, big fan.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, absolutely.
Did you
listen
to
them Garfunkel, a lot? Yeah. Simon and Garfunkel was some of the first pop music, I guess, I can remember really hearing.
Yeah.
You know, and those songs never get old at all. I mean... And, you know, their harmony and the simplicity of it was unlike anything else that was going on, hell, then or now, you know.
You know, I think that, I was thinking about this, I also flew in their famous live album, the Central Park concert, yeah. concert in Central Park. They did a free show in Central Park. What was it like? I think it was like 82 or something like that. They hadn't been together in a lot of years, yeah. maybe 10 years or so, and longer than that probably. So it was kind of a reunion show. It was a free show. They had like a million people out there in Central Park, and they came out and did a lot of Paul Simon solo stuff, but primarily Simon and Garfunkel. Yeah, so I was listening to a lot of those. I mean, it's kind of a greatest hits, just all that stuff, man. All, God, and just those songs. Of course, Paul Simon wrote everything. Art just kind of sang the high mm-hmm. harmonies. And but, man, you know, I think you just don't hear a lot about Paul Simon. When his name comes up, everyone's like, oh, man, yeah, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
But he's not out there like a I don't want to say he deserves to be, but like a Dylan or somebody like that. I feel like you hear about him a lot. He's always in Rolling Stone, or he's always having a show, or he's showing up on some award show. I feel like Paul Simon, not so much. Fly under the radar a little bit.
Well, he's a notorious
kind of a recluse. Of course, he married Edie Brickell.
Yeah.
Dallas club native. Singer, you know.
Yeah, well, from New Bohemians. He's known as a real abrasive personality
yeah.
in a lot of ways,
too. He's kind of a difficult guy.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's his reputation, I think.
Yeah, just...
Of course, he's always funny on those old Saturday Night Lives where he'd host.
He has
some humor.
He has
good
a
entertainer.
Real dry sense of humor.
Yeah.
But, you know, he probably is just one of those guys who he doesn't need any attention.
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
You know, he still puts out albums.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he put out an album in 07 or 08, and he said that'd be the last full album he'd ever release.
Yeah, is that right?
He declared the album format dead.
Is that right? He said he'd just do singles?
Yeah, he said he would just release small bits and pieces after that. But, you know, I think he doesn't tour a lot. See, Dylan tours constantly. Mm-hmm. And I think
so he's always in the news. He's always got a new album out.
Yeah, you know, Paul Simon, he's just, you know, he's a catalog act.
Yeah.
Who isn't always on tour and just kind of.
Yeah. Well, man, yeah, dude, Simon. But I'm surprised you're that into Simon and Garfunkel, because I'd look at Art Garfunkel. Seemed like a guy that would really creep you out.
Oh, he creeps everybody out.
Does he really?
Art Garfunkel was.
Any guy that sings that high, he's going to get the frizzy hair.
He's just a lurker.
He lurks. He doesn't play an instrument.
Extremely effeminate.
Yeah, you know, and didn't really write his own stuff.
Yeah.
Good singer. So you always kind of wondered, man, what's his role?
He was Adam Lambert 40 years ago.
The first Adam Lambert.
I'm going to get emails on that, I know.
We'll see. I'll get a few from that. I don't know how many Lambert album purchasers we have listening to the show.
He's Lambert without the makeup.
Yeah, yeah. He just always wore a vest and kind of hung out over there.
Yeah.
But man, I some people really don't like his voice. People go, man, it really creeps me out. But I think he's got a great voice. I mean,
he does have a good voice.
Bridge Over Troubled Water, man. I mean,
yeah.
That song just soars, man. No one else can even sing that song.
I mean, you don't want to hear Garfunkel sing a 12-bar blues or something. But if he's singing the right kind of song, I mean, dude, he's great at what he does. It's just a very specific thing. But.
Yep.
Man, that old, the 70s, some of that, I guess you just call it the pop folk stuff.
Yeah, right.
James Taylor and,
Paul Simon, right in the middle of that, man.
Paul Simon and, you know, Gordon Lightfoot, people like that.
Yeah.
Man, I love that stuff.
God, it is, because it is well produced. Mm-hmm. I think for the day, probably very slick. But you look back to it now, of course, compared to what we have now, it's very organic, just some electric pianos, acoustic guitars.
That was back when the radio would play music that just had two acoustic guitars and two voices.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
that's right,
and that kind of, you know, now it's hard to release albums like that. Believe me, I've tried.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody will pay. He's like, oh, it's just a demo. I'm like, well, 30 years ago it was a double album. Now you're telling me it's just a collection of demos.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the songs were so good. The songs had to be good when you presented them that way.
That's right.
And that's what always drew me towards James Taylor and guys like that.
Yeah.
Is, man, you cannot be singing a crappy song if it's just you and a 12-string guitar and your vocals.
Yeah. You can't just be doing something boring.
I always thought that was the coolest thing, and I still look back at that stuff. And it holds up today every bit as well as it did 30 years ago.
The song American Tune on there is just... You know, many's the time I've been many times I've been confused. But the melody on that is so—I mean, if you just gave a guy a clarinet and said, "Don't just play that melody line," it's phenomenal, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I say it on the show all the time, and time in and time out, and I'm not, but just myself included, I call myself out here. It's easy to just bang on your guitar and just mumble some lyrics. You just don't see people. I don't talk about no one likes music anymore. I wonder if the music's just not as good.
It is.
That's always my question, man. I look at these old Paul Simon. It's not on this record, but a song like Still Crazy After All These Years, yeah. Which is another great solo Paul Simon album, yep, from the mid-70s. Was Still Crazy After All These Years. I mean, that could be a little... That sounds pretty played on a violin with no lyrics. It's just there's music there. You know, the McCartney Wing stuff was like that. And, of course, the Beatles.
Like Coltrane said, if the man on the street can't whistle it, you don't have a song.
And
if you start anywhere than other than with the melody,
mm-hmm,
I think you're starting 100 mm-hmm yards behind. I mean, I know a lot of guys, well, I start off with a guitar riff, or I start off with this, or I write...
Every guy's song, they come out and they go, well, I'm gonna sit. That's not a song. But that, man, there's guys that just, that's all 12, all right, like there. No one comes in and just goes, when you're weary, feeling small, when evening falls so hard, you know? No one comes in with that, man. With that melody
ass,
line.
Phil. It doesn't kick ass when
it
you sing,
man,
like that.
But God dang, man.
I know.
I'm talking myself here. I mean, you just think, man, I ought to put more effort, even more effort, just in just poking it out on a keyboard, write a melody line.
Yeah,
you know,
even if you listen to even extremely simple stuff like old Hank Williams.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
You're cheating hard.
Yeah. You should play that on a fiddle. It'll just soar right along.
You know,
man.
Faded Love, that's a song that's always played instrumentally, seems like, just on a fiddle or a pedal steel line. And that is music. If you just want to talk about what a great lyricist you are, then go to the poetry reading.
That's right.
But if you're going to say, I'm a musician and a songwriter.
That's right.
Give somebody something they can go... Because that's the first thing they're going to remember is the melody.
That's right.
You know, they're not... The first time you hear a song, you're just not going to go, oh, well, that second line was brilliant.
Yeah.
What a deep thinker
that guy is. What a great snare sound.
Yeah.
But, man, there's so much emphasis on that. How it sounds, how the drums sound, which is, of course, important. But, I mean...
Sure.
You can have a drum loop going and a guitar tone and a bass and a hip-hop beat and just be driving along and feel like you're 80% of the way there, and just not have anything. I'm just man, you can just draw it up on this machine right here that I have in the studio and just say, okay, there's that. Now what are we going to do?
Think of Sweet Baby James.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, listen to that melody, and if it doesn't evoke some reaction out of you,
good night, you moon,
then you probably don't painting. You probably don't like
rock
music.
My Sweet Baby James. Yeah, but it's amazing how many guys come in and say, man, I love James Taylor, I love Paul Simon, I love all these guys. And then they, myself included again, and they start playing something, and you're just like, well, that doesn't have a whole lot to do with any of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see, and you know, Texas, I'm always, people get mad at me because I'm not, you know, I get hard on Steve Earle or I get hard on McMurtry or somebody. It's not those guys aren't great, but they're certainly, you know, they bang their chords and they have their songs. They're not as melodically driven as they are lyrically.
I still say
images.
Steve Earle is. You just haven't heard the right
stuff.
I haven't heard the right stuff.
All right, there you go.
Accuse me. Go listen to Fort Worth Blues Goodbye or one of those.
All right. Yeah, so you have the London Philharmonic covering his stuff. Does he really?
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's admirable. Sure. Admirable. There goes Ryman Simon. Lefsitz was talking about it. Said years from now it'll be finally realized as one of the greatest albums ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? We'll have to see. We'll have to wait and see if he's right. I don't know. But check it out. Paul Simon.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Kurt South has come out of retirement here, out of hibernation, out of hiding. After that car wreck, and God, was that you in the news with the smashed out windows?
Well, there was.
You look okay.
There were people speculating that I was in a rehab.
Wondering where
jail,
you'd been. Yeah.
That swine flu had taken me.
Oh. Well, that was just pulling something out of the headlines for the day. Yeah.
None of those things had happened.
You're here to set the record straight.
I am here to set the record straight. I'm going to write a book.
Yeah. A tell all.
I'm still standing.
Yeah.
That's gonna be the title.
I'm still standing. I'm just laying down by choice.
Yes.
Well, Kurt South has been here. This is the P2 Podcast. Email us, phil@philpritchett.com, or call me, 817-733-5256. Come record at Trinidad World Recording. Book the band. We'll come play for you wherever you are in the world. Thank you for being here, Kurt South. Also, be sure and pick up that new T-shirt, Fans Romans Countryman T-shirt. It'll be headed your way. It's on the website right now.
Available P2 for merch. Christmas, everybody.
Available for Christmas. What a gift. Just in time. Been scrambling to get it up there for everybody. Everybody got some angry emails. You can't have any new shirts.
You can get them made into old cotton dresses. Give one to grandma.
That's right.
How beautiful.
How beautiful. Make a nice quilt out of it.
Yes.
Well, Kurt South has been here. Thanks for listening at philpritchett.com and radiofreetexas.org. Be good to each other out there. We'll see you next time.
Many's the time I've been mistaken, and many times confused. Yes, and I've often felt forsaken, and certainly misused. Oh, but I'm all right, I'm all right, just weary to my bones. Still, you don't expect to be bright and bon vivant so far away from home. So far away from home. I don't know a soul who's not been battered. Don't have a friend who feels at ease. I don't know a dream that's not been shattered or driven to its knees. Oh, but it's all right, it's all right, for we lived so well so long. Still, when I think of the road we're traveling on, I wonder what's gone wrong. I can't help it, I wonder what's gone wrong. And I dreamed I was dying. I dreamed that my soul rose unexpectedly. Looking back down at me, smiled reassuringly, and I dreamed I was flying. And high up above, my eyes could clearly see the Statue of Liberty sailing away to sea, and I dreamed I was flying. For we come on the ship they call the Mayflower. We come on the ship that sails the moon. We come in the ages most uncertain hours and sing an American tune. Oh, and it's alright, it's alright, it's alright. You can't be forever. Still, tomorrow's gonna be another working day, and I'm trying to get some rest. That's all I'm trying, get some rest.